Don't get me back for last week. Really. Phil celebrated his 40th anniversary last week, and we had him and Ruth up here on my little Ruby anniversary, and we put a PowerPoint together, so we indeed did embarrass them, or at least Phil. I just want to talk just for a short time before we get on to baptism to really bring a bit of to say why we're having a baptism and what's going on, and why we're doing it in a pool, in a sense, instead of doing it in a back of a church in a little font. I was going to say a bowl, but I don't mean to insult. I was christened as a baby, 6 months old. My parents did the dutiful thing. They took me to the local Anglican church, and they christened me, baptized me, whichever terminology you want to use. Unfortunately, it didn't mean anything to me. Because the word to christen somebody is to make them a Christian. That's what the word christening means. And they often say to baptize people is to make them a Christian. But I didn't become a Christian at that point because I just carried on my life the way, as Sam explained it, on similar things. And my parents weren't Christians. They only did it because that's what he did. Especially in the, let's say, the 90s. Can I get away with that? 80s? Not quite 60s, no. I was not around then. But that's what they did. And they did the dutiful thing. They wet our heads and then they all nipped to the pubs. That's what we did in those days. So I grew up not really having any godly influence in my life, but something inside me I still want to know. And we've got a baptismal tank here because life's full of choices. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we are is a choice. Most of you chose to be here this morning. The only people that probably didn't choose to be here this morning are the babies. Because someone could say, well, I got dragged here by so-and-so. But actually, really, you chose to come. You choose to wear what you wear generally, unless you've got a really bossy other half. Got to be careful, because sometimes it's not always the ladies, you know. It's not always the ladies that nag. But we've all got choices to make. Sometimes we've got big choices. Getting married's a big choice. Job career's a big choice. Changing your career, big choice. A little down the thing is, you know, going on holiday. Where do you go on holiday? Big choice sometimes. Some people's big choice is Burger King or McDonald's. It's up to them, KFC or Subway, whatever it means to be. We've all got big choices, but sometimes we've got small choices. You see, becoming a Christian is a big choice. But that's not the end of it, because the Bible talks about how we've got a lifetime then of making small choices. See, you can want to be something, and you think you can blame the world for not becoming the person you want to be, but the person you want to be comes about because of the little choices you make. See, but you could make a choice in the back room after this meeting to have a cup of tea and have a piece of cake. There's some cake and there's some nibbles there, and I've not had to check out what is in there, but it certainly looks good from here. You can choose to have a piece of cake, and that's your choice, and there's nothing wrong with having a piece of cake, unless tomorrow you choose to have another piece of cake. And that little choice becomes an habit, and that habit then becomes a problem, because if you eat a piece of cake every day, especially the size of cake I like to eat, it can become a problem. The only reason I've got a dog is to help me keep trim. The dog needs to go, I need to take him. It kind of keeps me trim, because as a pastor, I go around and sit at people's houses and they're always feeding me cake. Well, actually, they don't. But you could start. Come and see me, Johnny. I'll get the cake out. Carrot cake. That's classed as one of your five a day, I'm told. So I'll have carrot cake every day, me. But if you make little choices, but on a continuous basis, it can become quite negative in life. See, a lot of my friends, when I were at school, they all, like we did, they all took up smoking. Not a big deal. One fag, one, not a big deal. But then it became two and three and four. And then it became a problem because a lot of them are still smoking, wishing they'd never started. Other people do certain things in their own life. Some people, it's little things that build into big things. And today these guys have made a decision to follow Jesus, big decision. And then they've got to make decisions every day to keep on reading the Bible, praying and living the life that God's got for them. But being baptized is another big decision. The Bible says it, to believe and be baptized. When I were a baby, I was cute. I've got the pictures. They are me. My mum's there, so I know it was me, I think, unless it was my brother. He might have been the cuter one. But when I was christened, I didn't believe. I didn't even know how to speak. The biggest thing in my world was feed me and change me and a nice bath every now and then. But as time goes on, we learn to make our own decisions. And these guys, they've made a choice to follow Jesus, and now they're making a choice to get baptized. And a baptism, the reason we do it where you lay down, is because the Bible teaches that it's symbolic. There's nothing special about this water. It's not holy water. You don't want to get in the water after... Now, we won't even go there. I don't think Ethan's done anything. He's not been near it yet. Yeah. He has. He might have visited the pool already. There's nothing on it. It's just water. That's it. But it symbolises something that's gone on in many people's, and especially Carol's life, and especially Sam's life, that the Bible talks about how we died with Christ, and that we're buried with Christ, and that we're raised again, resurrected, another word for it, into a new life. And all this is doing, they've accepted Jesus into their life and said, Jesus, come into my life. I'm sorry for all the sins I've committed. I'm committing my life to follow you all the days that is ahead of me now. And I'm going to die to myself and I'm going to live for you. That's basically it. It's like getting married. All single people's going, huh? What? Anybody who gets married realizes very fast that you die to yourself, because there's two people trying to live in one house and get on. So somebody or both of you has got to work things through. But we lay people down. Well, I'm not, because, you know what I mean, if I get these jeans wet, I'll never get them off, at least for another few hours. But Andy over here, oh, by the way, is starting some training, he's coming on, and Phil's our resident ducker. He's well trained for baptizing people. He's done it enough, hasn't he? Yeah. By the way, guys, you can't do this with Carol because Carol's sweet. But Sam's mum and dad, we're taking bids at a fiver. That'll hold him under a couple of seconds. Tenner, we might hold him a minute. £50, it could be. I mean, give us a good tip and we might just forget about him. Sam, we wouldn't do that to you, would we?
Well, what about them? They'd all offer you money.
I would. Sam's actually talking about, we've been chatting about doing a rave in the cellar, haven't we? A real 80s classic rave. I've got a line from the Bible, a couple of lines. It says, big DJ. We've got a line from the Bible. It says that this is a guy called Paul wrote this, and he were a bit of a real interesting person, because he tried killing a load of Christians, or he imprisoned them, he sent them out to be tortured and stoned. So he wasn't a nice person, but then he had an encounter with Jesus and it completely changed his life. And he says this, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. For this is your spiritual act of worship. The problem with that is it started with therefore, and this is chapter 12 in Romans. You've got to read the first 11 chapters to find out how good God is, how amazing he is, and what he's done for us. How he died on a cross, he took away our sins, he's washed us clean, he's taken away the guilt. There's no condemnation. That's all running up to this point where he says, therefore, my brothers, include you ladies, in view of God's mercy, well, what's God's mercy? The fact that he loves us. Guys, it doesn't matter how, where we come from, what we've got up to, God still loves us. I mean, Carol and Andy, you couldn't be pulled up. Sorry, Carol and, I think you as a couple, Carol and Sam, they couldn't be pulled apart. Different genders, different ages, different backgrounds, different groups, but both walking the same path with Jesus. And in this room, there's people who's had a life of drug addicts, there's been fighters, they've got people with drink issues, we've got people who's been in prison, we've got people from complete different backgrounds, people who's never done all that stuff and are still needing Jesus. People who's done what we would say good things, yet still need Jesus. And he said, I urge you, brothers, in light of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Then it says this, Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to know what God's will is good and pleasing and perfect will. See, God's got a plan for every one of us. It's up to you whether you take it or not. First time I went to church, I was probably, I can't remember, I was young. Obviously got christened in church. And then my mum and dad decided they wanted to sleep in on Sunday, so they got in touch with somebody who took us to church. That lasted about 2 weeks before they said, we're not taking them anymore, and refused. Then my brother joined the Cubs or Scouts, and my mum said, that's a good idea because you're off to church. She didn't want to go, but she sent us. I went to Sunday school for the first time, must have been 10 or 11, and to my shame, I got kicked out of Sunday school. I mean, a face like mine, I got kicked out. I later on joined a Christian youth group and I got kicked out of that. I tried getting into the Cubs, I got kicked out of that. I tried joining the Scouts, I got kicked out of that. Everything I joined, I seemed to get kicked out of. I just didn't. People didn't know when to keep their mouth shut. That's my excuse. They would say, Johnny Eaters. I don't know what we're on about. Sometimes, guys, I do wear Doc Martens. I've worn them since I was young and I love them. But the Doc Martens can sometimes be an attitude, but I do like the Dockers. The Bible says this, and this is something for you, for Sam and for Carol. This is John, who one of Jesus' best friends. He wrote this, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won the victory over all this world because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit that's in the world. God's living in you too is greater than anything else in this world. Another way of putting it is this, my dear children, you have come from God and belong to God, and you have already won the big victory over these false teachers of this world. The Spirit in you is far stronger than anything in the world. When I became a Christian, my dad didn't like it. He struggled with it because my dad was in some real dodgy things. He called, you know, in his own confession now, he'd say he went into a bit of Satanism, stuff like that. And I become a Christian and we're living in the same house. And my dad suddenly found out that nothing could happen. Nothing could do. He couldn't do anything in the house. Nothing would happen. He wanted to bring things and do things and nothing would happen in the house. Now, I'd only just become a Christian. I didn't know much, if anything. The next verse I'm going to read is the only thing I knew. A verse in the Bible. And again, for Carol and for Sam, it says this. But if anybody is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. So we're going to duck them down. The old's going. And the new has come. When I became a Christian, I didn't really know much except for the old person was now gone and now I'm alive to God. I'm a child of God. That's all I knew. My dad knew something else. My dad knew things weren't happening. And my dad thought he was serving the most powerful God around. He went into Satanism, into all sorts. He wore his black coats and he used to scrap like mad. And he used to think he was the bee's knees of everything in the group of people. But he realized the God that I had, the Jesus Christ that we serve, was stronger. And he said, there's got to be something in it. There's got to be something going on. So my dad checked out, and a couple of years later, my dad actually became a Christian. And he turned his back on that lifestyle, and the old had gone and the new had come. My dad's still going on, all right. And that's where you guys were. That old self has died. And I like to put it this way. This is just symbolic of we're laying you down, and your old self is just staying there. And you've been washed. Take the soap in. You've been washed. Go after Carol. And you're new and fresh. In the Bible, it says this. Once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. I mean, Carol might be able to say, I didn't do any evil behavior. Sam might say, I've probably done a lot of it. But realistically, anybody who doesn't acknowledge God, God classes that as evil behavior. We say if you kill somebody, rape somebody, or does something like that, that's evil. But to God, if you reject him, that's evil. See, sometimes people say to me, Johnny, you don't know what I've done. I'm not good enough to become a Christian. Truth is, none of us are good enough, including Carol. And I'll tell you, somebody who's even better than Carol, Ruth. Yeah. I mean, Ruth were a nun at birth. And she's been, but there's somebody who's even better than Ruth, than Mother Teresa. But even she needed to, she said, I needed to give my life to Jesus because none of us are good enough. Ever, any of us have ever been good enough. But the good news is none of us are bad enough. None of us are bad enough. Sometimes we have this a bit, especially, why is it guys? You know, guys, we chill out until another guy walks in and suddenly we get that stiff moment. I'm in church, so I'm going to look cool. We do. I did that the first time. I'm like, I'm a tough lad from a tough place. And I'm like, no, I needed Jesus like everybody else. The Bible says, don't follow the pattern of this world in our thinking, but let the Bible renew our minds. Let the Bible transform us. Because we've all got a battle in our minds. That's why we got you up early, guys. Because to sit here through me and then share your testimony, being, just get on with it, will you? But there's a battle in our minds. And this is another word. These are Proverbs in the Bible. It says, for as somebody thinks in his heart, so is he. What you think, patterns in your mind, you are. You see, I've come across loads of people. I tell them, you know, I say to people when I'm praying for you, I say, you do know that God sees you as beautiful. I've got to be careful when I say that to some ladies, because I don't want to look like I'm coming on. But I do, I say to them, you know, God sees you precious. He sees you as a princess. He sees you, you're amazing. He sees you awesome. And they look at me and go, I don't think so. I say to guys, I say, you know, God sees you as a mighty warrior, somebody who's strong on the inside, somebody who's mighty. And they go, but I'm not. No, we're not on the outside. But Jesus sees us as being perfect and blameless. He sees us holy. Many, many years ago, I do like walking and hiking, and you know, I've been up and down Three Peaks. I've taken people up and down the Three Peaks. We've run the Three Peaks. We've done them backwards and forwards. I love the Three Peaks. But one year, I took a group of people, and I always say this is the worst scenario, is when you go over the first one, you're quite fresh. You wade your way through the bogs and the rivers, and you're all black, bright, and you have your dinner. It's amazing. And then you go up the second hill, and now it's into the afternoon, and you're going up the second hill, and you're tired. And it's usually at that point I've found when some grey-haired lady in skimpy shorts runs past and goes, hello, boys, as she jogs up the hill. And we're all going, we're going to get there. And she just shoots off ahead of us. But anyway, and you get up to the second hill, it's the sun's starting to go down behind Ingleborough. And Ingleborough looks very black at this time. The sun's shining, usually, and it's black. And usually at that point, on top of the second hill, is when people give up. Because they give up in their head. And then we go down the second one, get to the bottom, and loads of people that I've been hiking with often at that point give up. And I encourage them, I say, could just keep going. Come on, keep going. So we take them to the bottom of a third hill. And there's one point where it literally turns a corner and you've got this climb. You remember it, Ruth? A few of us, David. Steep climb. And this friend of mine just kept going, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And I'm thinking, he can do it. He can do it, but in his mind, he'd lost the battle. So I picked up his rucksack and started running up the hill. And I said, if you want your rucksack back, you better follow me. So he chased me all the way up this hill. Nearly killed me. But we got to the top. We got up to the top of this bit, and I goes, now you're up here, you better carry on, aren't you? And he finished it. He could do it. And sometimes in our own lives, we believe things in our mind that's not true. We believe that we're unloved. We believe that God doesn't care. We believe that all we deserve is hell. But God says it's not about that. God says, I love you. I care for you. I've got a plan for you. The Bible says this. This is another part that Paul wrote. It says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall troubles, hardships, persecutions, famine, nakedness, danger, and the sword? And we can all say we've been through some of that stuff. We've had troubles and hardships at least. You know, as it written, we face death all day long. As we are considered sheep to the slaughter. No, in all these things, as believers in Jesus, we are more than conquerors. Through him who has loved us, we're loved. You see, my parents might have not have been the best example of loving parents to me. And some parents seem to be better and some might have been worse. But one thing is sure, that God's always loved me. Even when I've messed up. Guys, even when I became a Christian, I've known this lad longer than most people as a believer. And he would say, Johnny's messed up. I'm a pastor of a church and I still mess up. But God still loves me. That's honesty for you. You don't get that. Both opportunity. You don't get that often. But I know God still loves me, and God's working on me, and he's developing me. I mean, it carries on that we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. And this is Paul's persecuted the church, but then he became a preacher to the church. He says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, nor heights or depth, nor anything else in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Sam and Carol, nothing can separate you guys from the love of God. Nothing. In fact, Jesus proved his love for you by getting nailed to a cross for us, which I think is really amazing. If you are having trouble and you're wondering why, you know, sometimes we've got trouble in our life because of the choices we make. Sometimes you make good choices and it still turns out bad. Sometimes you make a choice and it's 50-50. But often if you make a wise choice, it usually works out quite good. But if anything even works out bad, it says this, that we know in all things God works out for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God knew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. And the good news is that Jesus got baptized. He went into the water as well as a demonstration for us. And you're following Jesus and it's like, okay, he said, believe and be baptized, so I'm going to be baptized. But God says that he loves us. He loves us all. He loves the good people and the good-looking people, the ugly people, the in-betweeny people. God loves us all. Peter says this, another mate of Jesus. He says, at the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. And above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. The love that Sam's mum and dad shown to Sam, not just because he's his son, but probably beyond that, is covered a multitude of sins. When they could have said, I've had enough. There probably has been times when they've said that. But love conquers all. And for his sake, they showed love. And there will be times, and I don't pronounce negativity over people's lives, but there will be times in a real world where you might mess up again. And sometimes, you know, mum will be there, dad will be there, but Jesus will always be there. He's always there for us. It says this again in the Bible. Since then, we do not have an excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with our old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then you can take an entire new life, way of life, God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accelerates, is reproducing in your character. You see, when you become a Christian, you don't change on the outside. God does a work on the inside. And then the work on the inside, God wants it to come out. The problem is that there's a battle going on in the mind, whether we do the right things or we don't do the right things. And we need to let that out of the inside so we can show God's love around us. This is what happens when we become Christians, really. In the Old Testament, God promises that I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you and I will take out that stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. That's what God wants to do to us all. There's nothing worse than being an hard-hearted person. You might succeed in a lot of things. But as I've met, doing my job, I've met people at the end of their life. I've met a lot of people at the end of their life. And one thing, they never ask. They never say to me, Johnny, can you ring my boss up and tell him I'll be in on Monday? They never say, I wish I'd spent more time at work. I wish I'd spent more time earning money. I wish I'd have spent more time pursuing my career or whatever it might be. I need to get to the gym. They never say that. They want the family. They want the people that care for them. And we've been there when there's been nobody else but me and Phil with people. And it's not because they weren't, it's not because they didn't love people, they did. It's just that people just couldn't be bothered bringing that back. Because in our hearts, we really know that the important things is the people around us. The ones that love us and the ones we can love. But I can't love anybody truly without understanding that God loves me first. And because he loves me first, then I can love other people. So you might be saying, Mev, there's a choice to make. Do you decide, yes, I'm going to make a big yes for Jesus. I'm going to keep making a big yes for Jesus. I'm going to make those little decisions every day. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray, because they accumulate into big things and good things. Or it might be a small yes that you're saying. Yes, Johnny, I'm interested in what you're talking about. I'd like to know a little bit more because I don't want to commit myself. I need to check out. I want to read a few reviews, check out a few comments, and that's fine as well. Or maybe it's not a big yes, I want to follow Jesus every, you know, right now. It's not even a small yes, but it's a maybe. You know, I've never heard this stuff before. When somebody told me about Jesus for the first time, I'd never heard of it. And I grew up in a time when they still taught Christianity in schools. Nowadays, they don't teach much to do with Christianity, or at least proper Christianity. It might be a maybe. And you might be saying, John, I just want to keep on fringing. Just watch. Get to know a few Christians and find out what they're like. Which can be positive. It depends on you. Watch. Because we're all working processes that way. We're all working it through. But I want to encourage you that for us all, you might not want to take a big yes for Jesus. You might just want to go, I just need to know a little bit more. And that's fine, that's good. Or maybe I need to talk to Carol, or maybe talk to Sam or somebody else. Talk to me, talk to somebody else. But let me remind you before we give you the moments, and we need to, are you going to get the kids now upstairs? We're getting ready. Thank you. That you are so loved. If Sam, if you want to jump your shorts. You're so loved. That some of you ladies, in God's sight, you are perfect. You're a princess in his sight. And if you really want it, you could be Xena, the warrior princess. I like that. You might not like the thighs, but you could do with the attitude. And some of you men, God's got more for you than you could ever dream or imagine. If you just let him help you make those small decisions day by day. We're often looking for the big thing, and God does that every now and then, but it's usually the little things. I'm looking at the baby at the front. The baby wasn't conceived and born the next day. It took 9 months of knitting that baby together, little by little, getting bigger and bigger. And things in our lives, God makes a little by little. Amen. I'll stop now.